turned all kinds of red on that one. Like, hurry up and get out of here for something else coming out. Oh, you just never know what's going to come out of a kid's mouth. Never know what's going to come out of my mouth either. All right, we're going to have some fun this morning. This is going to be a little different of a message for me. Lord's kind of stretching me a little bit. Not a little bit, but a whole bunch. Because I like to come up here with all kinds of notes, and I may have 10, 20 pages of notes. Y'all don't know that. But today I have like two. Right, yeah, two. And Jen's like, oh, good, we're going to get out of here pretty quick. But mainly, the Lord wants me to take you through Scripture because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. All right, I can sit up here and talk till I'm blue in the face and no faith comes in the house. But whenever you get into the Word of God, faith starts coming. Amen? So that's why we're really going to get in the Word. I know that you're probably saying, well, Pastor Mark, you share all kinds of scriptures with us every Sunday, and I know that too, but we're really, here, I'm just going to show you my first slide. There we go. Okay, so, and I'm not going to put the scriptures up there. In fact, I've got three slides of scripture. I'm not going to put the scriptures up there. We're going to go through them. You can take snapshots of that with your phone. I'll email this to you later if you want me to. Or you can write them down. But the main thing I want you to do is hear the Word. Amen? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's Romans 10, verse 17. And if you have your Bibles, you know, and some of the younger generation uses your smartphones, I understand that. I do both. I like bringing my Bible. And you can tell I've got all these scriptures with a paper clip on them, so I can kind of turn faster than you. So you may not be able to keep up with me. And you may be a professional page turner of the Bible, so you might be able to beat me to them. But the main thing I want you to do is write these down. I want you to listen to what God is saying in His Word. And I'm going to tell you two passages to go ahead and turn to. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 8 and Deuteronomy chapter 29, okay? Because I always like to have you turn to something in the New Testament, something in the Old Testament. So turn to Hebrews chapter 8 and Deuteronomy chapter 29. And we're going to get to those scriptures here in just a little bit. But how many of you know that we are living in the New Testament? Okay, and everybody's like, duh, dirty dur, Pastor Mark. But there's a trick of the enemy to try to get you to go back to the Old Testament. Can we learn from the Old Testament? Yes. But there was a cross, and there was power in the cross. The Bible says that Jesus triumphed over the enemy openly on that cross. The cross is where our victory is at. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. It's through Him that we have righteousness before God. Amen? I mean, there is so much power in the cross. And I want to show you through Scripture today that what Hebrews 8, what we're going to look at here in just a second, is that we are under a better covenant with better promises. I'm going to say that again. We're under a better covenant with better promises. Years ago, I had a friend of mine that tried to go back and find his Hebrew roots and grow a beard and all this kind of stuff because that's in the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you something, that's all fine and dandy, but what God is after is not after your beard. He's after what's going on in your heart. The better covenant with better promises is what's going on in the inward man. Amen? Not what you're doing to the outward man. What's going on in the inward man? And everybody said, amen. All right, turn to John chapter 13. I'm going to go back to those scriptures. John chapter 13, and some of you may already have beat me there. And there's going to be a little time lag when I turn to these, so bear with me. And we're going to, as the Holy Spirit leads, if He wants me to comment on something, I'm going to comment. But we're just going to go through these scriptures systematically and let the Word speak. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, as we go through Your Word, Lord, I know who the teacher is in this place, and that's You, Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would illuminate Your Word today to everyone here. I pray that they would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them personally. Lord, that they would submit to Your Word, that they'd be doers of Your Word. I pray that over myself as well. And Holy Spirit, just bring revelation, knowledge, and wisdom in this house today, because, Lord, we know that it says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It doesn't say the world. It says my people, my sons and my daughters are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, Lord, let knowledge, wisdom, and revelation flow in this house today through your Holy Spirit. And everybody said amen. All right, John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. And how many of you realize that what Jesus said is pretty important? Amen? And in verse 34, it says, this is Jesus speaking, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have beards. Some of the ladies are like, God, no. All right. By this, we'll know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I'm going to tell you something. They out there, and I say this a lot, they out there will know that we in here belong to him up here, him up there, when we have love, when they see that we have love for one another. I've had lots of conversations over my years of pastoral ministry with people that I believe that are Christians, but they don't go to church. And the reason why they don't go to church is because all they hear about is all the infighting that's going on in the church in town. Lord, don't let that be our church. Amen. Let's keep walking in love. When we walk in love, people know that we're his disciples. And when we're walking in love, people want to be a part of it. I want you to turn to James chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And I'm gonna endorse, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to endorse a movie for y'all to watch, and that's called The Jesus Revolution. How many of you have seen The Jesus Revolution? Okay. If you haven't, watch it. I watched it last Sunday. It's powerful. It's the story of Pastor Greg Lowry, who's a pastor today. He got saved during the Jesus movement. And when you watch it, I just want you to notice how it started off so good and so right and so holy, and it was because people had love for one another. And the moment it started this movement, the Jesus movement, and this has happened over, and it's really, this same scenario has happened over and over and over and over throughout human history. God will get a hold of somebody, and the Jesus movement will start. It's so right, it's so holy, they're walking in love. And then the moment it starts going south is when pride enters. And that's what happened with the Jesus movement. Pride got in there and just caused all kinds of havoc. And I want you to see that movie, but I want you to see what the Lord was doing in it, but notice how it started. And I don't want you really to focus on how it ended, because it didn't end right. Even though that God and his mercy and grace can still work through our flesh and our mishaps and our sin and all that junk. Thank God he can do that. Amen. But I want you to see if we would just walk in love, what God can do through a people that will walk in love. Amen. All right. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And I'm going to tell you right now, before I read this scripture, the best place that you can start practicing this walk in love is with your spouse and with your children. Start it at home. Doesn't just start in the church house, it starts in your house. All right, John chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, if you really fulfill the royal law, which the royal law is the law of love, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convinced by the law as transgressors. Can I just say something? Is sometimes in families there can be shown partiality, and it causes all kinds of problems in a family. Nobody look across the room. I'm looking. Yeah, so there's elbows flying. You can't, guys. When you start walking in that, that's when the enemy and strife and unforgiveness and bitterness and malice and slander and all kinds of junk starts happening. Happens in the church too when you show partiality. Happens in a business too when you show partiality. Amen. I mean, you can take these principles into every area of life. If we will walk in love, treat everybody with respect. And when you read the Gospels, when Jesus, you know, I love this, when the Greeks would show up, the Greeks, if you know anything about history, they were the ones with the money. When they would show up, I'm sure the disciples were like, Jesus, here comes the Greeks. Here come, they got, get the offering baskets out, guys. Get the offering. You know, Jesus didn't treat people like that. He treated the rich just like he treated the poor. He did not show partiality. And everybody said, amen. All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and this is talking about the better covenant. And every time I read this, I don't know why, I guess this is the redneck in me, is I always think about the shirts back in the 80s that were called Mobetta. You remember those? Mobetta, and I always think, okay, yeah. That just me. All right, Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 10. Starting verse 6 says, but now he, talking about Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also a mediator of a better covenant, which is the new covenant, the New Testament, which we're under, which was established on better promise, or better promises. Everybody say better covenant, better promises. Verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. I mean, Jesus didn't have to come if we didn't need a second, if we didn't need a New Testament. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now listen to this. I will put, everybody say put. Another way to saying that is another translation of that in the Greek is give. I will give my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. Do you remember how God, what does the Bible say in the Old Testament, how God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets? It says with the finger of God, right? They wrote, and every time you see the finger of God in the Old Testament, that's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, all right? So the Holy Spirit is going to write those commandments upon our hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And there it is. That's the better covenant with better promises. All right? God gave, he put it in our, excuse me, yes, I didn't mean to do that. He put it in our minds, he gave it to our minds, and he wrote it upon our hearts. And how we walk in it is by love. And somebody would say, well, Pastor Mark, you mean you're doing away with the Ten Commandments? No, I'm not doing away with the Ten Commandments. If you walk in love, you will keep the Ten Commandments. You're not going to kill anybody. You're not going to steal from anybody if you're walking in love. And everybody said amen. All right, Romans 5:5. This is all going somewhere. We're going to connect some dots as we go along here. All right, everybody liking this? We're learning the word. That's the most important thing. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So that's what happens when you get saved. God gives his covenant to your mind, and he writes it, those commandments, on the commandment to your mind, and he puts it or writes it upon your heart. Everybody got that? And who does it is the Holy Spirit. The finger of God is the Holy Spirit. Now go to Galatians 5, verses 14 and 15. Galatians 5, 14 and 15. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But, now, here's verse 15, and I want you to just think about this if you've been in church for any length of time. A lot of churches act like this. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Sounds like some churches I've been a part of, all right? And that's why people don't want to go to church, because they don't see us walking in love. The Bible says, Jesus even said, in the last days, what's going to happen is the love of many is going to wax cold. Okay, there's a lot of hate going on right now, and I'm just telling us as Christians, we can't get caught up in that. Do we need to be bearers of truth? Yes, we need to stand for the truth. We need to turn the light on, like I said last Sunday. Flip the switch. Don't shout at the darkness, flip on the light switch. And how we do that is by walking in truth and walking in love. And everybody said, amen. Is love firm sometimes? Oh, yeah, you bet it is. Yeah, love is firm. The other day at the lake, I screamed at one of my grandkids because they were about to jump off of something that they shouldn't be jumping off of, right? Okay? If they would have jumped, they would have hurt themselves. And I screamed at them. I didn't just say, well, you know what, honey? You know, you might want to think about another route there, you know? No, I hollered at him. And then my grandson just sat there and looked at me like, are you serious? And I'm like, I am dead. I'm hollering at him. Don't do that. Don't do that. He finally listened and got, you know. And what's wrong with a lot of us, we have a free will. We don't listen to God. And we go ahead and jump, and then we wonder why we break our leg. And there's problems. Okay, God loves you. And sometimes he might scream at you because he's a good father and he loves you. Okay. All right, John chapter 15, no, let's keep going down here in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. In 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I know in a lot of translations that Spirit is capitalized. It's talking about the fruit that's within you as the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, writes this covenant upon your heart. What begins to happen in the first ingredient of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Amen. The first thing is love. If you want to conquer your flesh, start walking in love. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want to get control of my flesh and my mind, and just say, Holy Spirit, help me to start walking in love. This week, I had two different opportunities to go south in my thought processes, okay? And what I mean by that is I could have blown my top. I could have blew my top over a couple of situations that happened this week. And the Holy Spirit told me and said, Mark, there's a Proverbs, and it says, a soft answer shall turn away wrath. Yes. If you're a person given to anger, and immediately when something happens to you and you blow your top, that's a good scripture for you today. And who taught me that? Was my wife. She taught me that scripture. She's like, here, read that. Okay. A soft answer turns away wrath. I used that on a guy today, on a land surveyor this week, who got upset with me over something. And I did a soft answer with him. And it made him stop in his tracks. And he totally turned the other direction and became very nice to deal with. Now, am I telling you to be a doormat too? No. I'm not telling you to be a doormat either. But I'm telling you, you can't improve God's word. A soft answer, walking in love, that's even a part of walking in love, just a tiny part of it. A soft answer turns away anger. Try that in your marriage. There's your good marriage. You came to church today for that one scripture. Try that in your marriage this week and see how it goes for you. And everybody said, amen. All right, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus speaking again. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In this illustration that Jesus is talking about, we are the branches, amen, and he is the true vine, okay? And as we're connected with him and that branch, we're going to bear this fruit that I just talked about in Galatians 5. Anytime that you disfellowship with the Lord and you feel like I'm starting to walk in anger and my temper's short and blah, blah, you need to get hooked back up to the vine. Yes. Amen? That means something has happened in your walk with God. Get hooked back up. Get your tank filled back up again. All right? He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. A lot of times a lot of religious people will read that and they think it. Read this and they'll think that's about winning people into the kingdom of God. How you're going to win people in the kingdom of God is when you start bearing fruit by the Holy Spirit. Right. When they see that love, joy, peace, that's how people come into the kingdom. And everybody said, amen. Everybody learning something this morning? Amen. All right. I told you we're going to look at about 20 scriptures here. First John, we'll be here till the shower starts. and then we'll be able to go home. That's a joke. All right, 1 John 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brethren abides in death." There's a word, and then verse 15, let's go ahead and read verse 15. It says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." I just want to say this. There's a word that you need to get rid of in your vocabulary, and that's the word hate. All right? Don't even use that word with anything. I hate spinach, but don't say that. Okay? I dislike it. It's just not part of my, I don't care for spinach, okay? But get the word hate out of your vocabulary. There was a story I heard of a guy one day, and this a pastor, he was talking to a lady, and she told this pastor, she said, "Pastor, I'm sorry I heard you teach on love and walking in love and all this," but she goes, "I hate my mother-in-law. I cannot stand her. I hate her." And he's like, "Well, this you know, your family's not doing well." And so he sat down with her, and they actually went to lunch after a church service, and this is how this conversation came up. And he said, "I know what you're saying, and I know that you believe that word hate, you believe that, but I want you to look me square in the eyes and tell me that again." And she did, and she goes, "I hate my mother-in-law." And he goes, "Tell me what's going on the inside of you." And she goes, "I feel something scratching me on the inside." And he goes, "You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit telling you that you don't really hate her. And that's the Holy Spirit telling you to bring her to him and yourself to him, and he's going to teach you how to walk in love towards her." Now, here's the deal. Nobody wants to hear that. Oh, gosh, you don't know what she did to me. You know what she said to me, or blah, 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 blah. We all have those stories. But the bigger person chooses to walk in love. And what's going to happen to you is it's going to release healing into you like you've never seen before. It's going to release healing into your family like you've never seen before. But here's the deal. Our flesh is crying out to hate. And the Bible says you got to crucify your flesh. Have a flesh fry. Look at somebody and say, "Have a flesh fry." Okay? I heard Pastor Ezra Randall said that to me one time. Have a flesh fry, Mark. Like, gosh, I'm trying, buddy. I didn't mean to turn the heat up, you know, to get it all gone. Because it's amazing how much you can turn the heat up and that flesh still wants to come back. But we got to crucify it daily. Amen? And the Lord will show you how to walk in love. And you can do it. Here's the scripture that shows you this, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 32. Says, Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another." Everybody say, "Be kind." Tenderhearted. Everybody say, "Tenderhearted." Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If God did it, and God can do it in you and through you if you will let him. But you're going to have to get your flesh out of the way. And everybody said, amen. All right, turn to Mark 11, verse 22. We're about halfway through, okay? Mark 11, verse 22. Everybody's starting to get the idea that God wants us to walk in love? And that's the one law, the one commandment in the New Testament, if we will all do. Jesus said this new commandment, if we will just walk in love, it'll take care of a whole lot of stuff. And I promise you, people will start walking in divine health if we walk in love. There's a lot of people sick today because they're not walking in love. It's just as simple as that. Mark 11, I heard a guy say this one time, and I thought, it was back early on when I started walking with the Lord, and I was like, that don't make any sense. Now as I've got into the Word of God and understand things, it makes a whole lot of sense. He said, if I could go into every mental asylum and teach people how to forgive and walk in love, you would be astounded at the percentage of them that would get right in their minds. Forget all the medication and all the stuff that they're on. If they could just be taught how to walk in forgiveness and walk in love, how a large percentage of them would be healed in their minds. A lot of people are depressed and anxiety and all kinds of stuff like that, mental disorders, because they're not walking in love. They're not walking in forgiveness. All right, Mark 11, verses 22 through 26 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever," and here's a lot of people stop right there, and we're shouting and we're hollering and we're praying and we're believing and we're receiving. And then verse 25, we leave it off. Verse 25, most people do. Verse 25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." That's the word. You talk about a blockage in your life. Janice and I were having a talk last Sunday after church, and she was telling me something, and I was like, that's the truth. The first thing that a new convert needs to know, a new person that comes into the Lord, they need to learn who they have unforgiveness towards and let it go so that they can start growing. Because a lot of people have been in churches for years, and they're not growing because they're still holding unforgiveness towards somebody. They're not walking in love. All right, Galatians 5, verse 6. I'm telling you, love is a big thing, because what else doesn't work? You can walk in sickness and disease if you're not walking in love. The other thing is Galatians 5, 6 says that faith works by love. So if your faith's going to work, you're going to have to, if your faith isn't working, you need to check your love walk, is what that's saying. And everybody said, amen. I mean, if you've went and had, you know, and I'm all for going to other churches and having other pastors pray for you or other ministries pray for you, getting healing lines or whatever. But if you've had enough hands laid on you that you're almost bald and you still haven't received, okay, I'm sorry. Is Matt, I'm sorry. I love you, brother. I love you. Then that's a sign that you need to look at you and find out, where is your walk at? Where's your love walk at? Yeah, that's scriptural about getting prayed for and coming to the elders of the church and being prayed for and ministries and things. You need to do that, I promise you. But if you do that two or three times and nothing happens, then you need to stop and say, Lord, what's going on in me? What's going on in my temple? Okay, where am I missing it at? Am I walking in love and in unforgiveness? Not walking in love and walking in unforgiveness somewhere? Show me. And he'll show you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so faith works by love. Psalms 107, verse 17. We're going to go back and I'm going to show you some Old Testament scriptures here for just a little bit. Psalms 107, verse 17 through 20. And some of these, if you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard these, but you haven't heard them in context. And that's what I'm trying to do. Psalms 107, verse 17. And it starts off like this. It says, fools, all right? This is the scripture. This is not Pastor Mark. It's calling people fools that don't listen to the word of God and obey it, all right? It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I just love, even in the Old Testament, God is a gracious God. Amen. Even though they were fools and falling away from God, when they cried out to God, God always showed up to heal them. All right, turn back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Everybody learning something today? All right. Exodus chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus. Chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. And it says, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God who heals you. Can I rephrase that? New Testament, New Covenant, because we're under a better covenant with better promises. If you walk in love, that sums all that up. Then you're going to walk in divine health. If you walk in love. Now, I'm going to take a little jet tour here real quick. And I've been reading to you out of the New King James. Now I'm going to switch versions and go to the King James Version, okay? There's a reason why I'm doing this, and I put them up there. The King James Version is because I've had people over the years use these scriptures and tell me that God's not a good God. And that God, you know what? He does put sickness upon us to teach us something. How many of you ever heard that? Okay, I have. Guys, that is the most ludicrous, foolish thing I've ever heard in all my life. God is a good God, and God is a God of love. And if you'll just look at your own life as a father, and now I look at myself as a grandfather, if Jarek was to go over and try to touch, when I'm cooking out on the grill and try to touch the grill, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to holler at him, you know. And if I can stop him, I'm going to do what all I can to do to stop him. Even if I got to knock him down, I'm going to stop him. But if he touches that, he did that on his own free will. A lot of us miss the free will part, okay? And that's the reason why I want to show you this through Scripture, is because there are some Scriptures that the King James Version, and I'm just going to say there's no version that's got it right, okay? Because I've had people come through this church and say, well, Pastor Mark, don't use the King James Version. Oh, my gosh. Lord, help us if that's where we're at. That's ignorant, okay? It really is. It's because the correct translation is the Hebrew itself or the Greek. King James even got it wrong, okay? And we don't even talk in thee and thou and all that kind of stuff today. That's why I use different translations so it makes sense to people. But I'm going to show you that even in the King James Version, they mistranslated some things. And so it makes it sound like that God did it. God didn't do it. God did allow it because people got out of fellowship with him and got away from the Word of God. And when you get away from the Word of God, consequences happen. And you can't blame it on God. Adam tried to blame it on God when he fell. He said, you know what? It was the woman you gave me. That don't work in my house either, Carrie. Carrie's like, mm-mm. It don't work in my house either. I've tried it. It don't. You can't blame. It's you. It's you. You're the sinner. You're the one that's fallen short of the glory of God. You need to get back right with God. And everybody said, amen. So I'm going to show you these scriptures because I don't want this, when you're reading the Word of God, this to trip you up, okay? And say, well, Pastor Mark said God don't put sickness on us, but it said in the Word that he does. All right, let's go there. Isaiah 45, verse 7 is the first one. Isaiah 45, verse 7. I have this one marked in my Bible now because I'm going to tell you where this one, okay, let me just share it first, and then I'll tell you where it came from. I formed the light, Isaiah 45, verse 7. This is God, like Isaiah's prophesying, like this is the Lord himself speaking this, and he is. It says, I formed the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Do you think God creates evil? No, he does not. God does not create evil. All right. I had somebody call me when I was doing a radio broadcast one time, and I was just telling everybody. And it is amazing to me when I start telling people about the goodness of God and the love of God, how religious people show up, and mean religious people. And I was talking on the radio about the goodness of God, and God is a God of love and all this. And I got a phone call, and this person used this scripture, Isaiah 45, verse 7, and basically was telling me that God caused Hurricane Katrina to happen down there in the coast, on the coastline, so that God, and this is his exact word, so God could flush the toilet. And I was like, wow, dude, what kind of God do you serve? you know. And I said, because there were good Christian people that lived in that storm that got swept away as well. That don't make a lick of sense. And here's the deal, guys. We live in a fallen world where there's things that happen. God don't cause storms to happen and blow people away. Heaven's not going to be like that. I want heaven on earth as, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. But we live in a fallen world. Even nature is fallen. Even our nature's fallen. The storm, everything else is fallen. Everything is fallen. We live in a fallen world where there are going to be accidents. All right? Well, then God allowed it. Okay? I got a scripture for that here in just a second. Okay? Just hold on to that thought. But God don't create evil. Look at somebody and say, God don't create evil. He allowed it. I still don't understand that. Okay, I'm your pastor, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand that. God, why did you allow evil in the garden? Why did you allow the enemy to show up? Why didn't you just do away with him before we ever got here? Okay. Oh, I got a lot of questions for God one day. All right. Amos 3, verse 6. Amos 3, verse 6 is another one. It says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? God don't create evil, right? God didn't do it. It was allowed because people are out of disfellowship. They're sinning against the Word of God, all right? That's why you're going to have evil at schools. You're going to have evil on your job and all these things is because people are not in right fellowship with God, and they're not walking in love, and they're not walking in forgiveness. And there's some people that are not saved, amen? And we want them to get saved. All right, here's another one. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. And there are others. I'm just pointing out just a few that I'm aware of and know that have actually been even used against me. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And it wasn't from, the evil spirit was not from the Lord. Saul got out of fellowship with God. When you get out of fellowship with God, you can open the doors up to the enemy. And here they come. Okay, that's what happened in those situations. But if you read that and you don't understand that some of these translations are flawed, God's character is not flawed. God is a good God, and God is a God of love. And anytime the enemy gets you to question that, or life circumstances get you to question that, that is from the pit of hell. That is not from God. I hope you're hearing this preacher today. And everybody said, amen. All right, just a few more scriptures. Acts 10, verse 38. I'll show you what Jesus did when he was here. Acts 10, verse 38. That's what he wants to do through his people as well, if we will walk in love. Acts 10, 38. He's got to get us walking in love. And if we'll walk in love, then signs, wonders, and miracles, and all kinds of things will start flowing through us as a people. Acts 10, verse 38. Talking about Jesus, and it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He healed everybody. All right, Exodus 23. I'm going to jump back and forth here just a second. Exodus 23, verses 25 through 26. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. All right? I don't know when the number of my days is, but I'm going to fulfill them. Amen? And because of this, because I want to walk in love. That's my desire. I want to walk in love and walk in forgiveness so that I can fulfill my calling upon this earth. All right, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. It says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Wow. Okay. God knows how to vindicate. All right. But that's God's job. That's not your job. You can't go say, God, go get them with sickness and disease right now. Okay. No, that's not the scripture. That's not the scripture you can stand on for that, okay? God wants us to walk in love and forgiveness. I promise you, when people are living a sinful life and not walking in fellowship with God, they open themselves up to the enemy, and they open themselves up to all kinds of sickness and disease. All right? And I'm just encouraging you. I feel like when I was preparing this, I was telling Jada on the way in this morning, I said, I feel like that there's going to be some people that's going to get a hold of this one thing, that they're going to walk in love and forgiveness to somebody in their family, and boom, they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. All right, John chapter 14, two more scriptures. John chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Because Jesus told us that we could do this if we'll walk in love, if we'll just listen to him and follow that new commandment that he gave us. And this is John 14, verses 10 through 12. He says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you," here it is, "he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." That's healing, casting out demons, raising the dead. That's all that stuff. But it comes from walking in love and walking in fellowship with a God who is love. And everybody said amen. All right, one last scripture, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, this one will wrap it all up, I promise. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For this is the end, Christ died and rose and lived again, and he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But who do you judge, your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Am I reading the right one? I was reading 14, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. "Owe no one," I was like, that don't sound right, Lord. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, "I choose to walk in love." Now, I promise you, first thing that's going to happen on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, is the enemy's going to challenge you to get out of walking in love. And you're going to have to make that free will choice. I choose to walk in love. I choose to walk in love. There was a lady, I'm going to share a couple of stories, and then I'll give you a few points, okay, with what all we've studied this morning. There was a lady that had been sick for 25 years, and she had been sick, just this chronic sickness, to the point where she just lived with it. She just learned how to deal with it and live with it, and she had stomach issues, and she had respiratory problems constantly. And she had this going on for 25 years until she sat in a meeting like this and heard a preacher and a teacher share the word of God. He shared some of these same scriptures, and she realized a light bulb turned on, and she says, "I have unforgiveness towards my brother," and she hadn't talked to her own brother for 25 years because over some little petty thing that happened at a family gathering. And she finally said, "You know what, I am going, when I leave here, I'm going to call my brother, and I am going to put this to rest, and I'm going to quit harboring this unforgiveness towards my brother." And she called him, and she found out he'd been wanting to do the same thing. He'd been wanting to call her. And they had this beautiful time of forgiving one another. And she said, "Whenever I hung up the phone, I realized I didn't have any more stomach problems, and I didn't have any more respiratory problems. Nobody had to lay hands on me, and nobody had to pray for me. It was just that she was doing the word of God, walking in love." Another story was a couple had a three-year-old who had epilepsy, and they'd taken her to the doctor, and they took her to one of the specialists, and this specialist said, "This is the worst case I have seen in 40 years of me practicing medicine." And he said, I don't know what we're going to do for this child. And so this couple called a pastor called a man in ministry, I should say. It wasn't their pastor. And said, we need you to come and lay hands on our little girl. And he said, this ministry, a huge ministry that worked in signs, wonders, and miracles. And he was like, you don't know how many calls I get to do that, to go lay hands. And he said, I had to learn early on, or the enemy was going to wear me smooth out, is I need to make sure that they've done all this stuff that I'm talking, that they're walking in love, they're walking in forgiveness, they're doing this. And he said, and I don't go, and he goes, this may shock some people, I don't go to everybody that says, he said, I would pray and ask God, God, do I go? And God would say no or go. And he said, and I would always go when he said go, but if they said no, I didn't. And it would hack some people off, okay? So that's how Jesus moved on this earth, by the way. He didn't always show up when everybody wanted him to show up. You ever notice that? He don't ever show up when I want him to show up either. You can't boss God around is what I'm saying. But you got to be obedient to what he tells you to do. And he said, so this pastor, or this man in ministry, he heard this phone call come in to his wife, and she said, well, he don't go every time. He's gonna have to pray and ask the Lord if he's to do that. And he said, I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth when this call come in, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, you're to go to this young couple. And he said, I opened the door and I told my wife, we're going. And so they went. And he said, on the way, he's like, okay, Lord, what do I do when I get there? He said, I even pray, because a lot of times we, as religious people, if you know the word, we get into this rut where, okay, I'm going to lay hands, I'm going to anoint them with oil, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. We need to do, that's all scriptural. But sometimes we need to pray, God, what's going on here? And he said, he had this sense to pray as he was going. He's like, Lord, what's going on? What do you want me to do? Do I just pray? Do I lay hands on her? How do you want? Because if you told me to go, you want to heal this little girl, this 3-year-old, and he said, he goes, this is the only one I want you to tell him, that she needs to walk in love towards some relatives. He's like, do what? God, that's kind of meddling in somebody's family affairs. If she wants that daughter healed, you be obedient and tell her you need to walk in love to some relatives. She'll know what you're talking about. And then you're going to tell her to turn around and tell Satan, I choose to walk in love. Get your hands off my daughter. And so he said, okay, Lord. And he showed up at their house. He said, sat down with them, had her little pleasantries, you know, and greeting everybody, and had the little girl there. And he's told the wife, he said, the Lord told me to tell you that if you'll choose to walk in love towards your relatives, and if you'll tell that, and if you'll choose to do that and say yes to that, and then point at your daughter and say, Satan, leave my daughter alone and get your hands off of her in Jesus' name, that she'll be healed. And this girl obeyed the word of the Lord, did that, and she was healed of epilepsy just like that. And a doctor said, in 40 years, I haven't seen a case like this, and I don't know any medicine that's going to be able to cure this. But God did it because somebody chose to walk in love. That's how powerful love is. And the reason why love is powerful, because the scripture says God is love. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God is love. This is how to receive the better promises under the better covenant. Every one of us in here are living under the new covenant. We're living in the New Testament. We're not living in the old covenant anymore. Jesus fulfilled that. He fulfilled every bit of it. Okay, but we're under the better promises, under the better covenant, and Jesus told us, I can sum it all up in this, guys, if you'll just walk in love. Real simple, but we muddy the waters too much. And so I'm just going to give you some things that the Lord's teaching me to do, and I'm not telling you I got this all figured out. I'm walking this out just like y'all are, all right? But here's the things you got to do. Be quick to repent, okay? Part of repentance means change your mind. Maybe it's your spouse. Be the first one to say you're sorry. Beat them to it. Watch, you know, don't be the one that says, you know what, they're wrong. And they owe me. No, you be the first one to repent. Be the first one to repent. Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive and walk in love. Be quick about it. I'm telling you, be quick about it. Don't wait. Don't wait and say, well, I'm going to wait till the stars line up and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. You do it right then. I'm not going to sleep on it. Definitely don't do that, because the Bible even says if you sleep on it, you're going to give a foothold to the enemy. So don't be quick about it. Do it that day, that moment when this happens. Be quick to forgive and walk in love, and then be quick to believe God's word. All that goes all together all at the same time. Amen. Those are the things to be quick about. Be quick about. God's word says we're to walk in love. Amen. 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 All right. Now, I'm going to share one scripture with you in closing today that I told you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. This scripture has helped me so a lot in life, okay? Because there are some things that have happened in my life where I'm like, where are you at, God? What are you doing? I don't understand this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm trying to walk in love and trying to walk in forgiveness. And then this happens, God. Why? How many of you have had those kind of questions? Okay, I've had them a lot. And one particular situation, most of you know my story that are here. Our story, and when our son Jaden went home to be with the Lord, I had a lot of questions about that. Had a lot of questions about that. Didn't understand why. I see my nephew Keaton here today. He's here. He's overcome cancer. Okay? I'll never forget the day. Never forget this, Keaton. I want to tell this publicly. I'll never forget the day whenever we were driving to the hospital, when he was in the hospital, and your dad was telling me that, you know, you'd had a grand mal seizure and all these things, and I mean, your little body was trying to reboot itself and all this. And I was driving, and we'd had this happen with my son. I'd had this happen on the other side of the family with a nephew, okay? And I was driving down the road, and I said, God, I can't have this happen again. And I was really getting really real with God. And God miraculously, Keaton is here today. Keaton is here. Now, Jance isn't, and neither is my son, Jaden, all right? I prayed for all three to be here, and I don't understand why. And we all have these, you may not have those kind of situations, but every one of us have situations where we've prayed about something and it didn't happen, and you wonder why. And it makes it look like that God isn't good, and the enemy's really good about coming and lying to you. God ain't good. God, you know, God is not a God of love. God is this and God is that. And I'm going to share scripture with you that you're going to have to take it by faith, and you're just going to have to say, God, you're God, and I'm not. And I trust you. Okay? And this is the scripture. And has God ever tried to bring that, or the enemy tried to bring that up again? Oh, yeah, I can't tell you how many times. Birthdays, Christmases, things that happen, family gatherings, stuff comes up, doubt. The enemy tries to bring doubt. And I just have to say, I don't understand, but it's not for me. And this is it. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, which I've been trying to reveal to you things through Scripture about us walking in love and forgiveness and all things, belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. But there are some things that are secret that God ain't going to tell you. And I don't know why. But I share that scripture with you today because a lot of faith people think, well, it was because of this. It was because of that they didn't get healed. It was because of that because they died. It was because of this, because of that. No. There's just some secret things that belong to God and not us. Has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do that God don't love you, that God's not good, that God's not a God of love. It has nothing to do with that. Doesn't have to do because you were walking in sin that happened. It has nothing to do with that. I had somebody trying to tell me, a good, well-meaning Christian, you know, when somebody loses a loved one, just shut your mouth. For the love of God, just shut your mouth. I had a well-meaning Christian try to tell me that there was some curse still in my life for this to happen. I was like, I had the sense enough to know that Jesus took all of my curses upon the cross. Okay, you're not living under a curse. Okay, there's just some things, some secret things that belong to God, and you got to trust Him. And that's why this journey that we're on, that we're all on, going to heaven to the throne of God. That's our destination, everybody. Amen. But it's a walk by faith. to walk by faith. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And just want to make sure, I do this every Sunday, want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because the Bible makes it very simple but very plain. In Romans chapter 10, it just says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to help you to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is just called the prayer of salvation. And it's where you actually call upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, we are planning to have a water baptism service next Sunday, August the 20th. And so if there's some, I think we had some youth that might be wanting to get baptized. And so we'll be doing that next Sunday. If you've never followed the Lord in water baptism or you want to do it again, next Sunday's the time to do that. Get with me and we'll get that done, okay? And we're going to have a baby shower here at 2 o'clock this afternoon from about, it's come and go, starting at 2. And I bless you guys. Everybody learn something today? Okay, we are under a better covenant with better promises. So let's all stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And Jade is going to come up here with me, and we're going to speak this blessing over y'all today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I'm under a better covenant with better promises. Amen. Amen.
I swear that love will find you in your pain.